Well, good evening. Well, before I start, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you in praise and worship as we lift up our hearts in prayers to you. In our prayers tonight, we pray for those who are unable to be here, whether it be for physical reasons, traveling, or other matters. We pray that you would bless them and keep them. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege to seek you this evening and to seek your word. We pray that the Holy Spirit would be in our midst to lead and guide us in knowledge of you and your will in our lives. I pray our hearts would be open to the character of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen. Well, as we come before the Lord's table this evening and we partake in the elements that represent the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we are asked to do so in remembrance of him. Our attention is rightly focused on his broken body given as a sacrifice on the cross for our sins. In addition, there are many other images worth remembering of the character and nature of Jesus Christ, our Savior, expressed in the Bible. Last month, Brad Ray asked us to behold the Lamb. Dr. Matt Ukiyama revealed to us the humility that Jesus examples to us as he humbly went to the cross. Tonight, I would like to talk on Jesus Christ, our Advocate. Well, the Greek word for advocate is parakletos, which means called to one's side or to one's aid, one who pleads the cause of another in a court of law, one who defends or vindicates. The word was used in a court of justice to denote a legal counsel, a legal assistant or a counsel for the defense, an advocate. In general terms, one who pleads another's cause, an intercessor, an advocate, as we see in 1 John 2:1, where it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. In a more encompassing term used elsewhere in the Bible, the word parakletos denotes a comforter or helper, as in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, where it reads, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Well, in these verses, Jesus was speaking to the disciples of another comforter. Another is allos here, and it means another of the same sort, not heteros, which is a different comforter. It's implying that he himself is the comforter for them, as well as the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost being the comforter of whom Jesus speaks of and names. As we could see in John 14, verses 26, where it reads, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." And then again in John chapter 15, verse 26, it reads, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." Well, the translation of advocate only appears in the Bible in the verse I have chosen as a focus for tonight. I ask you now to read with me that verse. It'd be 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. And it reads, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. In this verse, we can see four obvious persons or personages. We see John the Apostle, the writer of this epistle. We see the little children. We see the Father. And then we see Jesus Christ, the righteous and advocate. Well, the first two, John the Apostle and the little children, could be combined into a category of we, consisting of Christian believers, of which you and I are part of. The third, God the Father, is seen here as the judge determining justice over our sins. And the fourth, Jesus, as our counsel for our defense, our advocate. Well, speaking as a redeemed, believing Christian, forgiven of all sins through Jesus Christ, you might ask the question, why do I need an advocate? Well, in quoting from John MacArthur's commentary, he said, quote, "The glorious promise of the gospel is the free and gracious forgiveness of sin given to everyone who truly repents and believes in the person and work of the Son of God." He later went on to say, "The fact that forgiveness is complete and irrevocable, however, has led some to wrongly conclude that those who have received salvation need never again confess their sins before God and request forgiveness. The proponents of this view contend that in order for Christians to accept genuinely their full pardon and fully enjoy their liberty in Christ, they must ignore sin and focus solely on God's grace," unquote. And yet Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein?" Well, going into the Old Testament, Job, knowing that he was incapable of standing before the God of the universe, spoke in Job chapter 16, verses 2 through 6. It read, "I have heard many such things, miserable comforters are ye all. Shall vain words have an end? Or what emboldeneth thee that thou answerest? I also could speak as ye do, if your soul were my soul in my soul's stead. I could heap up words against you and shake mine head at you, but I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the moving of my lips should assuage your grief. Though I speak, my grief is not assuaged, and though I forbear, am I eased?" Well, then in verse 21, Job says, "Oh, that one might plead for a man with God, as a man pleadeth for his neighbor." Well, likewise, David in Psalm 143, verse 2 states, "Enter not into judgment with thy servant, O God, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified." Well, both of these men from the Old Testament acknowledged that they cannot stand before God by themselves. Job cried for an advocate to plead for a man with God. In 1 John 2:1, the phrase, "if any man sin," is an instructive phrase. In grammatical terms, the verb is an aorist, subjunctive, third-class conditional that conveys the strong possibility or probability of actually happening. All that means is that it could be translated, "if anyone sins, and it will happen, we have an advocate." The question raised is not the same as anyone would see in our legal courts, guilty or not guilty. Christ does not come forward to plead on that question. The verse reads, "if any man sin, we have an advocate," implying, of course, that the question of sin is settled. It's a fact. There is not any dispute. The only question is whether mercy can be given. The phrase, if any man sin, is followed by the pronoun we. We have an advocate, the Apostle John and his little children. Fellow believers are included. We need only go back two verses from 1 John 2:1 to read in chapter 1, verse 9, one of the doctrinal truths provided for us in John's epistle. It reads, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The problem before us is that we are saved from sin, and yet we continue to sin. Paul expressed that internal battle in Galatians 5:17, where he wrote, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. Well, Paul says that the flesh lusts against the spirit in conflict, causing us not to do as we should. In Luke 11, verses 2 and 4, Jesus Christ himself taught the disciples to pray, and in doing so, ask for forgiveness for their sins. He said unto them, when we pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. Jesus knew this would be our need in prayer. With a continued confession of David, a man after God's own heart, in Psalm 51 showed the need for a sinful man to repent. In Psalm 51, verses 1 through 7, he wrote, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blunt guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Well, this psalm elaborates David's confession of his sin with Bathsheba. In this penitential psalm, David pleads for forgiveness and cleansing as he prays to God to wash him. He confesses his guilt, prays for pardon and restoration, and resolves to praise God. There is a tendency in Christians, when we have sinned, to forget that we have an advocate with the Father. The Apostle John, knowing this, writes to help us to remember, if any man sin, let him remember we have an advocate. Guilt from our sins tends to diminish our faith and hope. Believing that Jesus Christ is an advocate for us when we have sinned strengthens our faith and hope. In Psalm 51, David recognized his guilt and his need to come before the Lord. As he spoke in verses 3 and 4, I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. We'll note also in verse 10, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit with me. A renewed spirit, a renewed hope, a renewed faith, we can gain through the belief and trust that Jesus Christ is our advocate before the Father. An example for us in the Gospel of John of Jesus performing the role of advocate can be seen in John 13 in verses 3 through 10. If you turn with me now, and if you would, to John 13 and read along with me, starting at verse 3. It starts out, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my feet and my head. Jesus saith to him, that he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. Well, these verses are usually seen as an example of the humility of our Lord and Savior. But it can also be seen where Peter is told, unless he allows Jesus to cleanse his daily walk, he has no part with Jesus. Likewise, if we do not allow Jesus to act on our behalf to cleanse our daily walk as our advocate, we have no part with him. Well, taking a quote from John Calvin's commentary on these verses, he wrote, in the sight of God, we are filthy and polluted until Christ washes away our stains. We must understand the meaning of the word wash. Some people think it refers to the free pardon of sins. Others to the newness of life, while others apply it to both. I concur with this last view. Christ washes us when he wipes out our sins by the expiation of his sacrifice, that we may not come into God's judgment. On the other hand, Christ washes us when by his Spirit he takes away the depraved and vicious desire of the flesh. Calvin goes on to say, as Christ washes from head to foot those whom he admits to be his disciples, so the lower part has to be cleansed daily in those whom he has cleansed. God's children are not totally regenerated on the first day, so they only live a heavenly life. On the contrary, the remnants of the flesh remain in them, and they have a constant struggle all through their lives." Unquote. Well, another commentary, and that was from John MacArthur, wrote on the same subject, and he wrote, "When Jesus told Peter, 'He who has bathed need only to wash his feet, but is completely clean,' the Lord made a distinction between the two aspects of forgiveness. The all-cleansing bath represents God's forensic application of Christ's death to repentant sinners, completely and forever justifying them and freeing them forever from eternal hell. Washing feet, on the other hand, represents the paternal forgiveness of sanctification. Although repentant sinners have already been justified once for all, they have not yet been delivered from the presence and power of sin in their daily lives. Therefore, believers need to confess and forsake sin regularly, thereby washing the metaphorical dirt off of their feet daily." Unquote. Well, as Jesus was washing the feet of the disciples, he was performing the task of an advocate in coming alongside the believer to intercede before the Father in eliminating the remnants of the flesh, the dirt one encounters as one tries to walk each day. This daily washing is why we need an advocate, one that will represent us and help us in our daily confession and present us cleansed before the Father. Finally, who else can stand before the righteous and just Father but the one who is righteous in all things? He must not be so entangled with the transgressors that he is a transgressor himself. He must be righteous before God, else he will himself need an advocate. Consequently, we read of our advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. It is altogether essential that he should come with clean hands before the Father on our behalf. God the Father has provided the court-appointed advocate. In this, God has signified his willingness to forgive, yet will not allow the sinner to appear on his own behalf. He can receive and hear a righteous advocate, for such an arrangement is in agreement with the honor of his throne and the support of his character. He has provided well for us the sacrificial lamb to cleanse us from all sins, a high priest to pray for us that we may be made to persevere, and in case we stumble and fall, an advocate to plead our cause and to restore us into fellowship with the Father and himself, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, shall we pray? Our dear Lord and Savior, we thank you for being our advocate and for the privilege to seek your mercy and grace to intercede on our behalf before the Father. We thank you, Father God, for providing for us a means to plead for forgiveness and to be claimed as children of God. There is none righteous but you, Lord Jesus. May we never forget that we can always come before you and rely on you to be our advocate. In our daily walk, may we seek your forgiveness and your love that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Bless us, O Lord, as we come before your table, and may we always be in remembrance of the sacrifice you suffered for our sake. May we be thoughtful of the fact that we can come before you for that continual need for cleansing and sanctification. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.